libertarian or conservative? How about a take on government that's just chock full of common sense? Kristen B. Tate gives her take exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So are you for or against third trimester abortion?
So the question is about abortion and reproductive rights. And my answer to you is that that should be a decision that the woman makes.
That guy just lied. That guy just lied to everybody that was in that room. Very weird. Kevin McCullough, glad to be back today. Very weird that Beto is on my first show back to the microphone, because I ran into him at the airport in Milwaukee on my way down to the red carpet junket for Breakthrough. And it was just weird that he then had this moment in Iowa where he lied. What do you mean he lied, Kev? Take a listen to the total context of the girl's question all over again. Now, the media, what I just played for you was what the media's played, but listen to this.
Are you for third trimester abortions, or are you going to protect the lives of third trimester babies? Because, you know, there's really not a medical necessity for abortion. It's not a medical emergency procedure, because typically third trimester abortions take up to 3 days to have. So you would, in that sense, if there was an emergency, the doctors would just do a C-section and you don't have to kill the baby in that essence. So are you for or against third trimester abortions?
So the question is about abortion and reproductive rights. And my answer to you is that that should be a decision that the woman makes.
He flat out lied. He acted like he didn't hear. He acted like he could rephrase the question and pitch it differently. Now, someone who may have some thoughts about this has just written for The Hill what kind of candidate Beto O'Rourke might be. Previously introduced already, she is Kristen B. Tate. You read her in The Hill. You see her on Fox. You see her on other outlets. She's written two best-selling books, and she's authoring a third right now. Kristen, welcome back. It's good to have you here. I sent you my selfie with Beto on Sunday when I ran into him in the airport, because I know you watched the Senate race in Texas very carefully. But when you heard that clip that we just played, as it was making the rounds over the last 24 hours, what went through your head about Beto's inability to even be honest at a campaign stop when he's asked a direct question?
Well, first of all, your selfie with Beto, receiving that this weekend was like the highlight of my weekend. That was hilarious. And I suggest all your viewers go look at that if they haven't already. As to your question about Beto's answer, it's a flat out lie, as you said, but I'm not surprised at all. I mean, this comes right from Beto's playbook. But my piece in The Hill really highlights how I think Beto's trying to recreate an Obama moment for himself. If you watch Beto speak, it's really interesting. The way he speaks, his tone, his rhetoric really reminds me of 2007 Obama.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's training himself to speak like Obama, but I do not think it's going to work for Beto. I don't think he'll be able to excite particularly the black community and also millennials the way Obama did. It's just a worse knockoff version of 2007 Obama.
Well, let me give you some feedback on that, because there's a millennial that is center left who frequently will send me texts and emails and questions about things. And he was kind of a Beto guy in the Texas race. And he's not a resident of Texas, but he was watching it. And he kind of thought that Beto elevated the debate, and he kind of bought into everything you've just laid out, that he's a different generation of politician. And he liked that about him. But since he's announced for president, he's announced his support for the Green New Deal. You just heard him say, he just lied to people that were in attendance, but he's basically not going to condemn third trimester abortions. And he called our economy, the capitalist economy, he called it racist and unfair. Now, I think average millennials, like my friend, who thought he was going in a direction that was going to be kind of moderate and kind of like a healer and pulling people together, to see those three positions, and they say, I don't know if that's the guy that I want to support. Well, your reaction to that millennial's observation?
No, I think you're dead on there. It's really interesting because you mentioned how Beto said capitalism is racist, but a few months ago he was saying he's a capitalist. I think Beto has kind of an identity issue. He's trying to find his lane, right? I think the winning strategy for him would have been to run as a moderate, but of course now everyone knows Biden's probably going to jump in and Biden's going to get the moderate vote. So Beto doesn't really, he's kind of like floating around. He doesn't really have a vision. And that's another really important distinction between him and Obama. When Obama ran, whether or not you agreed with his policies, Obama had a very clear vision.
Right.
I don't even know what Beto's platforms are. And if he tries to run to the left, he's jumping into a really crowded field where Bernie's kind of got the progressive wing under wraps. And then if he tries to run as a moderate, he's going to go up against Joe Biden. So he really doesn't have any solid position that he has consistently believed in. The guy has no track record. He was born into a millionaire family, married into a billionaire family, hasn't really done anything of note. So it's not like he even has any accomplishments under his belt. He's just kind of feels like he's just running for the sake of running, and yeah. He doesn't have a clear vision. So this is all stuff that's really going to come back to bite him. But Kev, I think what he's really doing here, I think the end game for Beto is he's running for VP.
Yeah.
I think if Bernie or Kamala gets the nomination, Beto wants that VP slot because he could help those progressives get some votes in the South and also some moderates.
Well, and they're going to look at what he was able to do fundraising wise in his Senate race and say, we need that on the ticket. Now, the challenge there will be. Depending on how much damage the field has done to each other by the time they get to their convention. I mean, what if you have, because I see a number of different possibilities playing out, and California now being at the kind of the front of the train primary wise is really going to make things very different than the way Democratic strategies have worked in the past, because you could be a very moderate kind of middle of the road, go to church on Sunday morning kind of Democrat until you got to the first Super Tuesday election. But by then you had six or seven primaries that had already gone by before that took place. Now California's right up front. And if you're going to try to get the lead, you've got to go to the far left lane and put the pedal to the floor to get there, because California's going to go to the craziest person in the race. And that may be Kamala because she's also a local girl. So, depending on what comes out of California, you could still win the nomination and lose California if you're a Democrat. But it makes it harder the rest of the way.
Right. And ultimately, as you've pointed out before, accurately, I think, this is going to come back to bite the Democrats, because, of course, California is a very friendly state to their party, but it's going to do a disservice to the moderates who could have a better chance at beating Trump. I've been saying for months now, I think Biden is the only potential candidate who'd have a great shot at beating Trump. I think Bernie would be absolutely demolished. I think Kamala would lose. And frankly, I think Beto would lose. So moving California to the front of the process is only going to make it more likely that you'd end up with a Bernie or a Kamala nominee, which in the end is better for Trump.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Reader in the Hill. She's got a very interesting piece about Beto. Beto is the poor man's Obama. Dems can do better. Kristen B. Tate, thank you.
Thanks, Kev. Always a pleasure.
Kevin McCullough Radio coming right back. Don't go away.